Let's pray first. Dear God, thank you for this youth service, for giving us all the opportunity to serve you and to do your and to help try and serve at church as well. I pray for the coming sermon, pray that your words will be able to flow through me and that the people who are listening will be able to get something out of this talk. Amen. So, who are the sort of people that we respect in society? Lawyers, doctors, or nurses, people we see as upstanding citizens. In first century Jewish society, these people were called the Pharisees. They were the most righteous, most holy people of all society, following the Jewish law very closely. They had come up with all these rules surrounding the Ten Commandments, like how much work counts as working on the Sabbath, or what is clean and unclean. They were, by default, the arbiter of what's right, what's wrong, what's acceptable, and what's not. On the other hand, first century tax collectors were seen as the bottom of the barrel and traitors to Israel. Definitely not the type of people you would want to hang out with or invite over for a meal. They were extorting money from their own people to give to the occupying Romans, often taking much more than they needed for themselves. Nowadays, we might compare these people to con men or scammers, someone who tries to take advantage of ordinary people. In Jesus' parable, he tells of a Pharisee going up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, who, in the eyes of the world and the Jewish law, morally righteous, confidently walks up to the front, as he had probably done many times before. He thanks God out loud, not that he has to, saying, "Thank God I'm not like all these other really, really bad people. I follow all your laws and I donate all the time." It may seem like he was praying, but we can see that the Pharisee was really praising himself. His prayer shows that he thinks that he's better than all these other people because of the things he does, and looks down on others as well condescendingly. He is so confident that it is what he does that makes him better, that makes him good enough. He thinks that all these things are what will get him into heaven and right with God. He believes that he is spiritually well. But despite all of this, Jesus says it's not enough. In verse 14, he says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled." Ironically, the person who thinks that they are spiritually well is actually not. He is the one who would be rejected by Jesus in the end. And maybe that's what we think too. It could be going to church, Bible study, or youth group every week, serving at church, or just thinking that because we don't swear, never lie, or that we are generally a good person. But by doing this, it may lead us to think that we are spiritually well. We're being arrogant and prideful, and we exalt ourselves over Jesus. And when we do that, when we exalt ourselves, we're really worshiping ourselves, which is, in essence, idolatry. But believing that we can solve our own problems without Jesus and make our own way into heaven, we essentially make ourselves God. By using our own judgment of good and righteousness, Jesus warns that by doing so, we too will be humbled. Personal achievements are not what he is after. On the other hand, the tax collector stands far away. By choice or by social pressure, he was excluded from respectable society. And you know, when we personally wrong someone and you're so ashamed and guilty that you can't look them in the eye when you confess? In the same way, the tax collector would not even look up to heaven because of his own sense of guilt and shamefulness towards God. He bows his head saying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." By acknowledging his sinful behavior and asking God for help, we can see how, unlike the Pharisee, the tax collector admits that he is a sinner. He knows that he is spiritually sick, and he knows he needs God to help him. That's why Jesus says, because of his humility, he will be the one justified and exalted before God. The person who knows that they are spiritually sick and in need of healing from Jesus will be the one right with God in the end. Like the tax collector, we need to be humble in our lives, asking Jesus for help instead of trusting in our own ways. In verse 14, he says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Like the tax collector, we should humble ourselves and trust God, because it is not our own works or achievements that make us right with God, but Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Salvation is a gift for believers. We didn't pay for it. Jesus did. All we can do is believe and trust in him, admitting our sinful nature and repenting, asking him for help. But if we start thinking like the Pharisee, that we're spiritually well and that we don't need Jesus, we become arrogant in our own works, trusting ourselves instead of him, and putting our own ways above his. We start to idolize ourselves and our own judgment over God's. We look to our own twisted sense of goodness and righteousness and try to earn forgiveness that only God can give to us. But we'll never be able to measure up to God's standards, and our own inadequacy will be apparent as we inevitably slip and fall. But does that mean we shouldn't try to live for him, to stop going to church or Bible study or serving just because it's not a requirement to go to heaven? No, of course not. We do these things because we want to live for him and to be obedient to God, because he has healed and transformed our hearts, not because we feel obligated to or that it's required to be for a good Christian. When we are transformed, we become more Christ-like to serve and care for others around us and spread the good news of his love for us. This term at Highlight, the Christian lunchtime group at school, we've been reading through a book called Lies Young Women Believe. And one of the chapters was called, "Of course I'm a Christian. I read the Bible every day, go to church, my parents are, etc." The book's mainly about how young women sometimes feel more obligated to behave a certain way or do certain things because that's what's expected of them. However, the chapter goes in depth about how the essence of true salvation is not a matter of profession or performance, but rather a transformation. We are not Christian because we go to church or read the Bible every day, but because we truly believe that Christ is Lord and has died for our sins so that we may have eternal life in heaven. These things are in response to the good news of Christ, not a means to get there. But how can we be aware of our own Phariseeness when we rely on our own means, looking to ourselves instead of God? For myself, when I have a longer than usual Bible app streak or when I serve at church, I feel the urge to tell someone, and I know that when that happens, I'm being prideful and sinful, so I try not to. When I feel like telling someone about my achievements or accomplishments, I tell them both the good and the bad, or sometimes just not at all. But I'm not perfect, and I eventually slip up, sometimes without even realizing it. But when that happens, I remind myself not to in future, and try to turn the conversation away from me. It can be hard to discern our own Phariseeness when we idolize and look to ourselves. But by keeping our eyes on Jesus, we are constantly reminding ourselves that it is only through him that we are saved and good enough for God, taking our attention off ourselves and onto him. The more time we spend praising God, the less time we have to praise ourselves. I challenge you to think about the things we do for God and examine our reasons behind doing them. Is it because we feel that it's expected of us, or because we genuinely want to be more like Jesus and to continue to build our relationship with him? In latent tuberculosis, only about 10 to 20% of people will develop active symptoms. The majority of people with latent TB never knowing and only later being diagnosed through tests conducted by a doctor. Similarly, we can be completely unaware of being spiritually sick and our desperate need for Jesus. But like doctors who can treat these patients, Jesus can heal us. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, has died for our sins, willingly giving us this gift of salvation. It is only through him that we can be acceptable to God. We can never achieve the standard that God needs by ourselves, and thinking so brings out our own arrogance. So do not think that you can be good enough for God. Be humble as he is good enough for us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach and to tell the good news of you. I pray that we will not be prideful or boastful of our own achievements and will not think that it is that we can earn righteousness with you. We know that righteousness is a gift and salvation is given to us by Jesus who has died on the cross. Amen.